Hey everyone, and welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're going to be tackling this idea of think and act locally, but through the lens of economics.
Economics, how's exciting.
Yeah, and to guide us on this deep dive, we're going to be turning to the works of Frederic Bastiat, a 19th century French economist.
Oh wow, 19th century, that's going pretty far back.
I know, right? But here's the thing, Bastiat's insights on government intervention, taxes, and individual freedom are still shockingly relevant today.
I can see how those topics would definitely still be in the news today.
Exactly. Especially when we think about how these forces play out right here in our own community.
Yeah, that local angle is what we're all about.
Absolutely. And one of Bastiat's most powerful ideas that I think will resonate with everyone listening is the concept of that which is seen and that which is not seen.
Ooh, I like that. It's kind of mysterious, isn't it?
It is. And it really gets to the heart of how we often make decisions without considering all the costs involved.
I know I've been guilty of that myself.
Me too, honestly. Bastiat illustrates this with the example of, let's say, a government-funded theater. On the surface, it might seem like a great idea.
Yeah, you'd think so, right?
Right. You create jobs, you have a boost to the local art scene, everyone's happy. But then Bastiat asks us to consider those unseen costs, those things that maybe we don't immediately think about.
Okay, I'm starting to see where this is going. Like, where does the money for that theater actually come from?
Bingo. Often, these kinds of projects are funded through taxes.
Right, which means less money for other things.
Exactly. Things like schools, roads, or even just lower taxes for local businesses that are already struggling.
That makes a lot of sense. It's like a trade-off. We might gain something shiny and new, but we could also be sacrificing investments in other areas that might be more vital to the community.
That's it. And that's the essence of what Bastiat calls opportunity cost.
Opportunity cost. I like that term.
Me too. It's a really simple but powerful way to think about those choices we make every day, both as individuals and as a community.
So we're not just talking about big government projects here. This applies to all sorts of decisions we make at the local level.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that Bastiat was really concerned about was this idea of legal plunder, which is when the government uses its power to kind of redistribute wealth in a way that benefits a select few at the expense of the many.
Ooh, that sounds kind of sneaky.
It can be.
Yeah.
And it often happens under the guise of promoting the common good. But as Bastiat pointed out, the common good is rarely served by enriching a small, privileged group while the rest of the community foots the bill.
So how do we guard against that? How do we make sure that, you know, our local government is truly acting in the best interests of the entire community?
That's a great question. And it gets to the heart of what we're trying to do with this Think and Act Locally series. It's about becoming informed citizens, understanding how these economic forces work, and holding our elected officials accountable.
Yeah, it's about being engaged, showing up at those town hall meetings, doing our research, asking those tough questions.
Exactly. And this brings us to another one of Bastiat's brilliant insights, what he called the broken window fallacy.
Okay, I've heard of that one. Isn't it about, like, a broken window being good for the economy?
Yeah. He tells this story about a shopkeeper whose window gets smashed.
Oh, right.
And at first glance, everyone's like, well, at least the glazier gets some work. But Bastiat points out that the shopkeeper now has to spend money fixing that window.
Right, money that he could have used for something else, maybe investing back into his business.
Exactly. So the broken window didn't actually create any new wealth. It just shifted resources around. And that's a really important thing to remember when we're thinking about economic development at the local level.
I'm starting to see how this applies. Sometimes we focus so much on those quick fixes, those band-aid solutions, that maybe create a temporary boost, but don't really address those underlying issues.
That's it. And Bastiat would say that we need to be wary of those policies that might seem beneficial on the surface, but actually have those hidden costs that we talked about earlier.
Like opportunity costs.
Exactly. We need to be asking ourselves, what are we giving up when we choose this particular path?
Are we truly creating value for the community? Or are we just shifting resources around and maybe even making things worse in the long run?
Those are the right questions. And if our listeners are finding this deep dive valuable and want to support the work we do, they can visit our website, thinkandactlocally.com/donate. The link is in the show notes.
We appreciate your support. Now, shifting gears a bit, I think another Bastiat idea that really resonates with this Think and Act Locally theme is his critique of what he calls the right to labor argument.
Okay, break that down for me. I've heard that phrase before, but I'm not sure I fully understand what it means.
It's basically the idea that everyone has an inherent right to a job, and it's often used to justify government job creation programs.
Right, but what's wrong with that? I mean, wouldn't everyone want more jobs in their community?
On the surface, it sounds like a good thing. But Bastiat argued that simply focusing on creating jobs, regardless of whether those jobs are actually productive or sustainable, can actually distort local economies.
Okay, help me understand that. How could creating jobs actually make things worse?
Imagine our city council decides to create a program to hire people to, I don't know, paint all the fire hydrants in town a different color.
Okay, I can see how that might not be the most essential use of resources.
All right. Now, those painting jobs might provide some temporary income for those individuals.
Right.
But where is the money for that program coming from? Likely from taxes collected from local businesses and residents.
Oh, yeah, I hadn't thought about that.
So those businesses, they could have used that money to invest in new equipment, expand their operations, maybe hire more employees based on actual market demand, not just because the government's subsidizing those jobs.
So instead of relying on government handouts to create jobs, what's a more sustainable approach?
Bastiat would say it's about fostering a climate where individuals are empowered to create their own opportunities.
So we're talking about things like supporting entrepreneurship, reducing regulations that stifle small businesses, investing in education and training programs that equip people with in-demand skills.
Exactly. That's how you create real, lasting prosperity. It's not about government handouts. It's about empowering people to become the drivers of their own economic destinies.
And that brings us to another fascinating Bastiat concept that often throws people for a loop. His argument that to save is to spend.
Now that sounds counterintuitive.
Right. Seems like they'd be opposites. But Bastiat makes this really compelling case that when we save, we're not just stuffing money under our mattress.
Right. We're usually putting it in a bank or investing it in some way.
Exactly. And that money then becomes available for others to borrow and invest in productive enterprises.
So our savings actually fuel economic activity. It's not about hoarding money. It's about making it available for others to use in a way that benefits everyone.
I'm starting to see that. And this connects back to our think and act locally theme.
Absolutely. When we choose to deposit our money into a local bank or credit union, for example, we're increasing the likelihood that those funds will be loaned out to local businesses.
So we're helping to fuel that local economic engine. It's like creating a virtuous cycle where our individual savings decisions can have a ripple effect throughout our community.
Now, speaking of local economic engines, Bastiat also had some really interesting thoughts about the nature of money itself.
Okay, I'm ready for this. Money's so central to our lives, but it can be so confusing to wrap your head around.
Bastiat's brilliance was in his ability to simplify these complex ideas. He argued that money, at its core, is just a tool. A medium of exchange.
It's not wealth in itself, it's a representation of wealth.
Exactly. Think of it like a voucher or a claim on goods and services.
Okay, that's a helpful way to think about it. So the money itself isn't valuable, it's what you can exchange it for that really matters.
Exactly. And this distinction is crucial for understanding how to create a truly prosperous local economy.
I see that. It's not just about attracting any kind of business or any kind of investment. It's about attracting businesses and investments that are actually creating real value, producing goods and services that people in our community need and want.
Right. And that's where this idea of think and act locally comes in. It's about being intentional with our economic choices, supporting those businesses that align with our values and contribute to the well-being of our community.
This has been so insightful. I feel like I'm starting to see the world through Bastiat's eyes.
It's amazing how his ideas, even though written over a century ago, still speak to us today.
And I think it's a testament to his ability to understand those fundamental principles of human action that are, well, timeless. I mean, whether it's the 19th century or the 21st century, people still respond to incentives, they still value freedom, and they still want to live in a community where they can thrive.
And that's what we're trying to do here, to equip you with the knowledge and the tools to make those think and act locally decisions that can create a better future for ourselves and our community.
And speaking of creating a better future, if our listeners are finding this deep dive valuable and want to help us keep this conversation going, we encourage them to visit our website, thinkandactlocally.com/donate. The link is in the show notes. Your support allows us to keep doing what we love.
And to keep spreading these important ideas. Now, before we wrap up part one of our deep dive, let's explore one of Bastiat's most thought-provoking concepts, the natural history of spoliation.
Spoliation? That's a word you don't hear every day.
I know, right? But it's a concept that's at the heart of many of the economic challenges we face today.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Break it down for me. What did Bastiat mean by spoliation, and how does it relate to our think and act locally theme?
Well, spoliation basically means plunder. It's the act of taking something that belongs to someone else, whether it's through force, coercion, or even legal means.
Okay, so we're not just talking about robbery here. This could be happening at a systemic level, even through government policies.
Exactly. And Bastiat argued that this act of plunder, no matter how it's carried out, has a kind of predictable life cycle, a natural history, as he called it.
Hmm. Interesting. So it's not just a one-time event. It's a process that unfolds over time.
Right. And understanding that process is crucial for recognizing the dangers of spoliation and for knowing how to prevent it.
Okay, I'm following you. So walk me through this natural history of spoliation. How does it start and how does it progress?
Well, let's imagine a scenario. Let's say right here in our town, a group of influential business owners lobbies the city council for a special tax break.
Okay, sounds pretty typical so far.
Right. They argue that this tax break will help them create jobs and stimulate the local economy.
I can see how that argument would be persuasive.
And the city council, eager to be seen as pro-business, approves the tax break.
So where's the spoliation in this scenario?
Well, let's look at those unseen consequences again. That tax break, while it might benefit those specific businesses, it comes at a cost to the rest of the community.
Someone has to make up for that lost tax revenue.
Exactly. That money could have been used to fund our schools, fix our roads, or even just lower taxes for everyone else.
So it's a form of redistribution, but not the kind that benefits everyone equally.
Right. It's about transferring wealth from the many to the few, often under the guise of promoting economic growth.
So that's the first stage of this natural history of spoliation.
It is. And here's where things get really interesting. Once that precedent is set, it becomes easier to justify other forms of legal plunder.
I can see how that would happen. Like if one group gets a special favor, then other groups will start lining up for their own piece of the pie.
Exactly. It becomes a slippery slope. And as this process continues, a couple of things tend to happen. First, those who benefit from the system become increasingly dependent on it.
I bet. Why bother innovating or competing when you can just rely on government handouts or special favors?
Precisely. They lose their incentive to create real value because they know they can always rely on the system to prop them up.
And meanwhile, those who are being plundered, the taxpayers, the consumers, the small businesses that don't have the same political clout, they become increasingly demoralized.
Exactly. They see a system that's rigged against them, where hard work and innovation aren't rewarded.
That's got to be frustrating. And it creates a real sense of unfairness, a feeling that the system is working for the powerful and connected, not for the average person.
And that's the real danger of spoliation. It erodes trust, it undermines the rule of law, and it ultimately leads to economic decline. People lose their incentive to produce, to invest, to take risks, because they know that the fruits of their labor are likely to be confiscated.
It's like a cancer that eats away at the very fabric of a free and prosperous society.
Bastiat saw this as a huge threat and dedicated a lot of his work to exposing it.
So how do we fight back against this natural history of spoliation?
Yeah.
How do we, as citizens, think and act locally to protect ourselves and our community from this process?
First and foremost, it's about awareness. We need to recognize that spoliation, even when it's dressed up in fancy language about the common good, is always harmful in the long run.
So we need to educate ourselves. We need to understand how it works, how to spot it, how to call it out.
Exactly. We need to develop our spoliation detectors so we're not fooled by those deceptive arguments.
And we need to become active, engaged citizens.
Absolutely. Show up at those city council meetings, read your local newspapers, get involved in community organizations.
Hold our elected officials accountable.
Exactly. Let them know that we're paying attention and we expect them to represent the interests of the entire community, not just those of a select few.
It's about reclaiming our power as citizens. We have a voice and we have a responsibility to use it.
We can make a difference. And we can start by making those small but significant choices in our own lives to support a system that's based on justice, fairness, and individual responsibility.
This has been such a thought-provoking conversation. I feel like I'm looking at our local community with a whole new perspective.
Me too. And it's not just about economics. It's about creating a community where everyone has the opportunity to thrive.
And that's what Think and Act Locally is all about. It's about empowering individuals to make a difference, starting right here, right now. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We're picking up right where we left off, exploring those powerful economic ideas of Bastiat and how they can help us think and act locally to create stronger, more vibrant communities.
And last time, we were digging into that idea of spoliation, you know, that sort of legal plunder that can happen even when policies seem well-intentioned on the surface.
Right. Bastiat was a master at showing how those unseen consequences can really undermine things in the long run, like trust in our institutions and even economic growth.
He really had a way of shining a light on those hidden costs that sometimes get lost in those big political debates about creating jobs and all that, always reminding us that real prosperity comes from individual effort, not from government handouts or those special favors for a select few.
Absolutely. And that emphasis on personal responsibility really leads us to another fascinating aspect of Bastiat's work, his exploration of those two contrasting systems of morality, the law of force versus the law of justice.
Ooh, I like where this is going. It sounds pretty deep.
It is. And it's so relevant to how we make decisions in our communities every single day.
Mm-hmm.
So under that law of force, you can imagine, like, our town wants to build a new community center.
Okay, sounds good so far. Community centers are great.
Right. Mm-hmm. But under that law of force mindset, the city council might just seize the property they want, you know, maybe using eminent domain or something, without really even considering the impact on the people who live or work there.
That's rough. It's like saying might makes right.
Exactly. And you can see how that mentality could creep into all sorts of local decisions, from zoning regulations that favor those big developers to tax policies that benefit certain industries more than others.
So basically, it creates a system where those who are already well-connected and powerful, they're the ones who can really work the system to their advantage, while everyone else feels kind of powerless and ignored.
Exactly. And that breeds cynicism, undermines trust in our institutions, and over time erodes the very foundations of a free society.
Okay, that's the law of force, the not-so-pretty picture. But what about that law of justice? How does that play out?
So under the law of justice, you can imagine that same community center project unfolding very differently. The city council would approach things with a deep respect for individual rights, for the rule of law, for transparency.
I like that. So they'd actually engage in conversations with the community, explore a bunch of different options, weigh those impacts on everyone involved.
Exactly. Recognizing that everyone has a stake in these decisions, not just those with political connections or a ton of money. And maybe through those conversations, they discover a better location for the community center.
Right. One that doesn't displace people from their homes or businesses. Or they find ways to mitigate those negative impacts through careful planning and design.
That's the idea.
Yeah.
It's not about abandoning progress or those community goals. It's about figuring out how to achieve those goals,
yeah,
while also upholding those core principles of justice and respect for every individual's rights.
I'm really digging this law of justice concept. It's inspiring.
It is. And it allows us to create that kind of society where everyone has a chance to succeed, where disagreements are settled fairly and peacefully, where the law protects our freedoms instead of being used to take advantage of people.
It gives me hope for, you know, how we approach things right here in our town.
Me too. And it reminds us that it's not just about complaining about the things we don't like. It's about getting involved and helping shape that system to reflect those values of justice and responsibility.
Now, speaking of shaping things for the better, I think Bastiat actually uses a really cool story from ancient China to illustrate these very ideas in action.
Oh, a story from ancient China. I'm all ears. What's the story?
It's about this wise advisor, Quang, who challenges the emperor's big plan to, like, revive this massive canal system.
Okay, so the emperor's thinking big infrastructure project sounds ambitious.
Exactly. The emperor's got good intentions, you know, wants to stimulate trade, boost the economy, improve people's lives. But Quang, being the sharp economist he is, recognizes those unseen consequences we keep talking about.
Uh-oh. It's those seen and unseen effects again. What did Quang see that the emperor missed?
So Quang realizes that this massive canal project would require tons of forced labor, you know, people being taken from their farms, their businesses, even their families, and forced to work on this big government project, often under really harsh conditions.
That's awful.
It is. And Quang has the courage to stand up and point out that, yeah, this forced labor might create some temporary jobs, but in reality, it's going to make people poorer in the long run. They're being taken away from those things that actually sustain them, you know, their own farms, their own businesses, their families.
Such an important point. And it reminds us that forcing people to work for something they don't choose, that's not the path to true economic growth. Growth comes from people freely pursuing their own goals, contributing their talents and benefiting from their efforts.
Exactly. And Kuang, this brave advisor, suggests to the emperor, hey, instead of forcing people to build this canal, why not create an environment where individuals can thrive on their own? You know, lower those taxes, cut back on those regulations, protect property rights, and allow people to trade freely with one another.
Sounds familiar. It's like think and act locally, but applied to an entire empire.
Right. It's about unleashing that human potential, trusting people to make their own decisions, and stepping back from that top-down control that often does more harm than good.
I love that. And speaking of seeing things in a new light, Bastiat actually uses another really clever story to illustrate these very same ideas.
Oh, he loved his stories, didn't he? What's this one about?
This was about a group of candle makers who were afraid of, get this, competition from the sun.
Wait, competition from the sun? That's hilarious.
I know, right? But it's so brilliant. They actually petitioned the government to, like, block out the sun.
I can't even imagine. So what was Bastiat getting at with this crazy example?
He's highlighting those absurd lengths that people will go to, especially when they try to use the government to protect themselves from competition. Like the candle makers in this story, they argue that if they can just block out the sun, they'll create more jobs, boost the economy. But obviously blocking out the sun would be a disaster.
Okay, I get it. It's a satire, right? It's like saying, let's make everyone wear blindfolds so we can sell more flashlights.
Exactly. And it's so relevant to our think and act locally conversations. We often hear those calls to buy local, which on the surface sounds great, but we have to be careful not to fall into that protectionist trap of shutting out competition and stifling innovation.
Right. It's not about building walls around our town and refusing to engage with the world. It's about fostering an environment where those local businesses can truly shine by offering unique products, amazing service, and that genuine connection to the community.
And let's not forget, a little healthy competition can be a good thing.
Absolutely. It forces everyone to step up their game, offer better value, and come up with those new and innovative ideas. And ultimately, it's the consumers who benefit from all that.
It's like that saying, a rising tide lifts all boats. When those businesses are thriving, the whole community benefits.
Now, speaking of thriving economies, all this talk about competition really leads us to one of Bastiat's most important contributions to economics, his staunch defense of free markets and his critique of government intervention in the economy.
Okay, this is a big one. So is Bastiat totally against any role for government in the economy? Or did he see a balance between individual freedom and those times when we need collective action?
Bastiat believed that the government definitely has a legitimate role to play, you know, protecting those individual rights, enforcing contracts, providing that stable framework for economic activity. But he was super skeptical of government attempts to, like, manage or control the economy, whether it's through tariffs or subsidies or price controls, all that stuff.
So it's kind of like set the rules of the game, but then let the players play.
Exactly. He saw the market as this incredibly complex and dynamic system that, when it's allowed to work freely, allocates resources in the most efficient way, creates wealth, and raises living standards for everyone. He really believed in that power of the invisible hand.
But wouldn't that just lead to chaos and inequality? What about those folks who get left behind in a system like that?
It's a common critique, for sure. But Bastiat would argue that the free market, while not perfect, is still the best system we have for creating wealth and opportunities for the most people. And he'd say the key to addressing poverty and inequality is not through those government handouts or trying to control everything, but by creating an environment where everyone has a shot at success through hard work, innovation, and entrepreneurship.
So it's not about trying to engineer equal outcomes, but about ensuring a level playing field, giving everyone a fair chance to succeed.
That's the idea. And it all circles back to that core principle of respecting individual liberty, trusting people to make their own decisions, and creating a system that rewards effort and innovation.
This has been so insightful. I feel like we've only just scratched the surface of Bastiat's work.
There's so much more to explore, but even just these few ideas we've discussed today can really empower us to think differently about our communities and the choices we make every day.
And remember, if our listeners want to support us in continuing these deep dives and spreading these important ideas, they can visit our website, thinkandactlocally.com/donate. The link is in the show notes.
Your support means the world to us. Now, before we wrap up this part of our deep dive, let's shift gears and explore one of Bastiat's most profound and honestly sometimes confusing ideas, his understanding of the nature of money and its relationship to real wealth.
Okay, money, it's something we use every day, but it can feel so abstract and mysterious.
Mm.
What did Bastiat have to say about it that can help us, you know, think and act locally in a smarter way?
Well, Bastiat, being the master of breaking down complex ideas, argued that money at its heart is simply a tool, a medium of exchange.
It's not wealth itself. It's like a representation of wealth.
Exactly. Think of it like those old school arcade tokens.
Oh, yeah. You'd put in your dollar and get a handful of tokens to play those games.
Exactly. The tokens themselves weren't valuable. It was the fun you could have playing those games that really mattered.
So the money is just a way to facilitate those exchanges of goods and services to make things run more smoothly.
Exactly. And this difference between money and that real wealth is crucial if we want to build thriving local economies. We often hear about creating jobs and attracting investment. But what does that really mean?
Right. It's not just about those numbers going up. It's about whether those jobs and investments are actually producing those real goods and services that improve people's lives.
That's it. And that's where Bastiat's ideas become super practical for our Think and Act Locally approach. It's not about attracting just any business or any investment. It's about attracting those that align with our community's needs and values.
So it's about being more intentional, asking ourselves, what kind of businesses do we want? What kind of jobs do we want to create? What kind of products and services do we value?
Exactly. It's about using our power as consumers and citizens to shape the kind of local economy we want to see thriving around us.
And that means understanding how money works, how it flows through our communities, and how those seemingly small financial decisions we make every day can add up to a big impact.
No, that's what I call economic empowerment. And it all starts with that awareness. Bastiat was so good at cultivating seeing beyond the surface, considering those unintended consequences, and making those choices that create a more just and prosperous world for everyone.
Welcome back to The Deep Dive. It's really amazing how Bastiat's ideas, even though they were written so long ago, still resonate with us today, you know, especially when we're talking about think and act locally.
It's a testament to his understanding of human nature and how economies work, you know, those principles that are kind of timeless and apply everywhere.
Yeah, and one thing that really struck me was his focus on understanding the true nature of wealth. Like, it's more than just money, right?
Absolutely. Bastiat's view of wealth went way beyond those material things or how much money you have in the bank. He saw real wealth as anything that contributes to human well-being, both those tangible things and those things you can't really touch.
So it's not just about the stuff we own or how much we earn. It's also about our health, education, a clean environment, strong communities. Those things matter too.
You got it. It's about seeing that bigger picture, that true prosperity is about so much more than just those dollars and cents.
Yeah, it really challenges us to look beyond those traditional ways of measuring economic success and ask ourselves, are we really building a community where people can truly flourish? Are we investing in the things that really matter?
Exactly. It's about those quality of life things that make a difference. Good schools, access to affordable health care, clean air and water, a sense of belonging, you know, a real sense of purpose. Those are the building blocks of a truly prosperous and resilient community.
It's about creating a place where people not only want to live, but a place where they can really thrive. And speaking of thriving, I was really struck by Bastiat's defense of saving. Like, we always hear spend, spend, spend to boost the economy. But Bastiat actually saw it differently.
He did. Bastiat loved to challenge those conventional ideas, and he made this really compelling case that saving is actually vital for economic growth. He saw it as a form of delayed gratification. You know, like you're setting something aside today so you can reap the benefits later.
So it's not about hoarding cash, but it's about channeling those savings into investments that can create jobs, develop new technologies, and ultimately lead to a better quality of life for everyone.
You got it. It's like planting a seed. You're not going to eat the seed itself, right?
Uh-huh.
You plant it, you nurture it, and then you get to enjoy the fruits of your labor down the road.
That's a great way to think about it. And it makes me think about how we can apply that to our daily lives. Like maybe instead of spending all our money at the big box stores, we put some of it into that local credit union or invest in a small business we believe in.
Exactly. Those small acts of saving and investing can add up and have a real ripple effect throughout our community. It's a way to support those businesses and initiatives that are creating real value and building a stronger local economy for everyone.
It's about putting our money where our values are.
Right. Absolutely. And it's also about understanding that we're not just consumers, we're citizens with a voice and a responsibility to shape the direction of our community. And that brings us back to Bastiat's ideas about the role of government.
Yeah, he was a big believer in limited government, wasn't
He was. He believed that the government's role should be to protect individual rights, enforce those contracts, and create a fair and competitive marketplace for everyone. But he was really wary of government overreach, especially when it came to trying to control or manipulate the economy.
So, set the rules of the game, but then let the players play.
Exactly. He believed that the market, with all its complexities, is actually a self-regulating system, and when it's allowed to operate freely, it tends to allocate resources in the most efficient way, creating more wealth and opportunities for more people. He was a big fan of that invisible hand idea.
It's like trying to micromanage a beehive. The bees know what they're doing.
Exactly. Trying to interfere too much can actually make things worse.
Yeah.
The same goes for the economy. The market relies on the actions of millions of individuals, each making decisions based on their own circumstances and preferences. And when you let those individuals operate freely within a framework of clear and fair rules, amazing things can happen.
You know, listening to all of this, I'm starting to understand how Bastiat's ideas can really help us navigate those complex economic issues we face every day in our communities. It's about recognizing those limits of government action, but also understanding the power of individual choice and those free markets.
And remember, think and act locally. It doesn't mean we're shutting ourselves off from the world. It's about engaging with the global economy in a way that benefits our community, all while holding on to those principles of freedom, fairness, and individual responsibility.
This has been such an eye-opening journey exploring Bastiat's ideas. I feel like I've got a whole new set of tools to think about economics, especially when it comes to making a positive impact right here where we live.
That's what we're all about, helping you become those everyday economic heroes that Bastiat talked about, the ones who make a difference through those small but meaningful actions each and every day.
And speaking of making a difference, for our listeners who are enjoying these deep dives and want to support our work, please visit our website, thinkandactlocally.com/long/donate. You'll find the link in the show notes.
Your contributions help us reach more people and keep having these important conversations.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into the brilliant mind of Frederick Bastiat, let's take a moment to reflect on what we've learned and how we can put these ideas into practice.
Let's remember those key principles, you know? Look beyond the immediate effects and consider those unseen consequences. Respect individual liberty and the rule of law. Understand the true nature of wealth and the importance of saving and investing. And recognize the power of those free markets. Oh, and let's not forget about those limits of government intervention.
It's a lot to take in, but even small steps in the right direction can make a big difference. Let's all commit to being more mindful consumers, more engaged citizens, more informed investors, and more responsible stewards of the resources we have.
Let's create those local economies that are not just productive, but also fair, sustainable, and truly reflective of our shared values and that vision for a better future.
Thank you all for joining us on this journey of discovery. We hope you're leaving today feeling inspired to think deeply, act boldly, and of course, keep it local.
Until next time, stay curious, stay engaged, and keep making a positive impact.